Blog Talk Radio.
We're back in the building.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Yeah, start the show.
Yes, sir. Never gets old. What's going on, good people? Yes, sir. I got me a nap. I'm ready. Hey, I'm old, man. I had to take me a nap. Yeah. It is what it is. Hey, man, I took a nap earlier. Yes, sir. I'm 7:15. I said, I'm going to need me a nap.
I'm not going to lie. I think I did the same thing. I was like, just making sure everything was good. Woo! All right. So we're kicking off Tuesday.
Greatest sports talking show on the planet.
Yeah, that's what's up.
There you go.
I can hang up. This is a line, Rob, right? I can hang this line up, right, just to make sure we're good, right? The 512 number?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just want to make sure before anything happens. All right, we're just getting
a couple of
technical difficulties out the way. Fair enough. I plugged you in, and it was like we were like, Rob, all good. What is it?
That's because you're not burner phone.
I'm on the phone that you call the burner right now.
Oh man.
The burner.
Call me on this line. Call me on this line. Make sure everything is good. Like power over here.
Let it ring two times and hang up. No, that's what you go ahead.
Oh, gosh. JQ, how are you feeling today, man?
Oh, man, I'm good, bro. Like I said, I got me some rest, and all my people's out there on the East Coast, I'll be your way on Friday in New York, Saturday in Baltimore, and then Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday in D.C. Looking forward to it.
Are you going to swing?
Yeah, man, a little baseball odyssey. You know how I do in July. I try to hit a couple stadiums up so I can see New City Field on Friday, go to Camden Yards on Saturday, and check out Nationals Park on Sunday.
Okay. Yeah, take some pictures, man. Definitely love to see that, man. That's pretty dope.
You're going to New York, and you're not going to go see the world's greatest organization?
Here we go.
Yeah, he's crazy. I don't think they're in town on that Friday. I'm pretty sure they're not.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay. All right, let's slide this down. You going to Queens instead of the Bronx?
I mean, 1A and 1B, it's like, if the Yankees hadn't been there, we probably would have went to Yankee Stadium, in all honesty. We probably would have went to Yankee Stadium. But since they weren't there, it was like, it's when it's all clustered together like that, you can make a couple of days out of it and see more than one stadium. So that was the real reason why we did that. You know, never hurts to go to New York and hang out for a night.
Mm-hmm. Have you been to Yankee Stadium before?
I have not. I just was saying, I would have loved to have gone, or at least try to get two cheap tickets to both and gone to one and left and gone to the other one, you know, just to get in the stadium to see it. But just didn't work out that way this time, but I'm still pumped to go see City Field.
Nice. Yeah, it's going to be good. All right, Rob, put on your feeling, bro.
Man, ready to make it do what it do. Doing great. Let's get this party started.
I was expecting to win 8, but yeah, it's all good. Yeah, bro. All right, so again, let's talk about these numbers for always on Tuesday, July the 10th, or right after fireworks, all that fun stuff, man. I hope you guys had a good, holiday and everything like that. But let's start the numbers. The 424-243-9519 is always the number to reach out to us. Follow us on Twitter. That's the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, follow us on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/12ManSports or Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will find us as well. And, again, I know I apologize because I'm coming from Vegas, man, so I'm still trying to figure out my purpose, man. So, the senses are going firing, man. There's a lot of stuff happening, so I had to definitely recharge the batteries, man. So again, if I'm a little off,
reboot.
I apologize about that too. So yeah, it was definitely fun, man. So yeah. So it happened in Vegas, stays in Vegas. We had some fun, And let's kick this off here.
You didn't lose all your wages out there, did you?
Definitely not, man. I'm not a big addictive personality person, man. So I can kind of like play some stuff and then I can walk away, man. But there's some tables that I guess during the night there were some, you know, blackjack and stuff, you know, whatever is like
high rolling,
25 to 50 play in. I'm like, man, I ain't doing all that. Man. I just want to just have some fun, man. So anyway, I'd rather keep my money from that perspective. But it was definitely
a good
experience. I'll say that for sure. So yeah. Anyway. This bad boy started here. I guess let's talk some World Cup here. Recaps here, France versus Belgium. Rob, you want to kick it off with that, bro? I don't know if you want to take that or JQ. I don't know if you want to put the coin for that, but all good from that perspective.
Well, I'll give it my best shot. Obviously, I won't even pretend to be an expert, but, you know, obviously this is pretty popular on what's going on around the world, so our listeners in other countries and things of that nature is obviously paying very close attention to what's going on. Obviously, France and Belgium, neighboring countries. Obviously, Belgium is another French-speaking country as well. So, obviously, neighboring countries going at it. Pretty boring to me, but France pulled it out with a 1-0 victory and moving on to the World Cup final. So, it should be interesting. It'll be really interesting to see a France-England World Cup final. You know, those are probably two of your more powerful countries there in Europe.
Germany,
yeah, absolutely,
too.
Which was crazy that they got knocked out so early. Yeah, you know, France really just doing the bare minimum to get by. Had some quality shots in. Also, they have been, and they were able to stymie Belgium a little bit. But I agree with you. I think that's a great, you know, old school world power matchup if England is able to make it across. And England, you know, is a huge football country, as we know, and I don't think they've won things since, like, 1996 or something like that. So, you know, they're trying to get that monkey off their back as well. They've been playing really well. So they still got a tough match in Croatia because, hey, you got to give Croatia a lot of credit. Anytime you can go and knock off the host country on their playing field, especially the penalty kicks, you gotta like their moxie and their mental makeup of that Croatia team. So I don't think it's going to be, a cakewalk by any stretch of imagination for England, but I really think the soccer world would love to see France and England in the final.
I think it's inevitable
as well.
I was gonna say it's tough too because again, I mean, you talked about, you know, if you have a certain team that's gonna watch everything like that, and I'll definitely chime in and say that it definitely helps to have, you know, stars. Like, you know, I was watching it because, you know, obviously you had Ronaldo for Brazil and, you know, Messi, and it's different. You know, you watch for certain, like, players, and then whenever certain players get kind of knocked out, you're like, you know, so it's something you definitely want to start. I don't know if there's a better way how to have big stars or kind of from that perspective too, but that definitely makes more of a draw as far as watching certain matches, you know, for the casual fan, you know, obviously. But, you know, again, I know soccer's doing fantastic. I'm just giving it.
You mean Neymar?
Neymar. I'm saying, you know, if you like following, you know, different teams and little things like that too. So again, my apologies as far as that. But I was throwing out like different names, like, you know, like,
I'm not with you.
Messi, Ronaldo. I know, and I appreciate it. So I'm just saying too for, you know, casual fans, because you want to have like somebody to follow from that perspective too. But good call.
Definitely.
And again, I apologize.
Most people in America still think Pele's still playing.
Yeah, you stupid. Shut up.
Yeah,
but Ronaldo,
we still know that
they're going to Juventus. Yeah. That's huge.
But we still know that the number 10 jersey goes to the best player too. So that's something that, if you didn't know that, that's how, you know, anytime you get the 10, that's kind of an honor of Taylor too. So if you didn't know that, that's kind of how they always designate kind of like the 23 jersey for, you know, for the NBA. You know, you get that, you're like, oh, this is going to be a good jersey too. So, but again, all good, and I didn't take any offense with that, JQ, too. I was just saying, too, I was throwing out some popular names I know as far as, you know, following teams.
Right.
Kind of something that you definitely know. So, hey, if I know this person's on this squad, then I'll more likely follow that team or that player, if you will, too. So, good call, as always. Let's give a quick baseball update here. The Royal Twins, go ahead with that, Rob, and we'll let JQ follow up on that as well.
Lord Jesus, why?
Last I saw, I think the Warriors was up 6-3. Well, they actually are 6-2. In the top of the eight. Warriors, the worst team in baseball, trying to pull one out. Twins, 8 games back in second place in their division, but they're also 8 games under 500 as well. So you know, two teams that are in the Midwest, trying to give them a little bit of love on the show, but obviously way out of contention.
Yeah, for all that, you could have just talked about Cleveland and Cincinnati, and shout out to Cincinnati for a seventh run, top of the ninth, after Bauer was just killing them for eight innings, trying to help the Twins out, gain ground, but they aren't taking advantage of it by losing to the Royals right now. I think Rob just likes me to get on there and talk bad about the Twins so they can get riled up about me, because we always have like a Twins update. They just aren't going to be good enough to beat Cleveland in that division, AL Central.
We talk about the Reds and the Braves every week.
Just to show y'all,
we got but we got to talk about two teams that's worth a day. We talking about the worst team in baseball playing another team eight games on the 500.
Oh,
but in all seriousness, though, that was very exciting. But yeah, I just don't think Minnesota, like I said before, is going to have enough. That Cleveland team, if they ever get their bullpen together, they're not going to be reachable in that division in the American League, in the American League Central. I just don't think the Twins or anybody else has enough to catch them. So I think it's theirs to lose for sure. Moving forward, I think that's one of the ones I think you can call a foregone conclusion. I really do. If Cleveland makes a move by the trade deadline in there to add some bullpen help, they're going to be dangerous. Or if they can get Andrew Miller back from that knee injury.
Yeah, Cleveland's in first place in the AL Central. Obviously, the eight games over 500. There are three teams in the American League West with a better record than Cleveland, who is the best record in the AL Central. Houston, Seattle, and Oakland all have better records than Cleveland, and Cleveland's in first place in their division.
That AL West is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. I mean, and so is the AL East, really, where you talk about the Yankees and the Red Sox just, you know, crushing folks. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, really, really heavy in the AL. I think the AL is going to crush the NL in the All-Star game for sure. The AL is just deep. The AL in baseball is to what the NFC is to the NFL in terms of its deepness. It's just going to be tough. All that West is in the NBA.
Yep.
It's just really ridiculous.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, good call, man. I'm actually happy we're talking about the Braves, man. The Braves we're just having a rough go here, man. Just getting destroyed by the Brewers, and then which obviously
a good team.
The Brewers got great
the Brewers,
team. Right now, I'm just saying,
they got the
I had to say that too. So that was we talk about different squads to try to measure up against, and then losing it to Toronto tonight. But
I'm absolutely happy we're not talking about them. 1-8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't care about the Phillies. They can suck it too. All right, let's talk about. He always doesn't bring it up. I'm totally joking.
That was how you really feel.
Philadelphia.
You know y'all booed Mike Irvin, so if y'all want to boo Andre,
But the funny thing is, Scott Richmond, Rob.
They didn't
want to
boo Mike Irvin. He cheered him when he got hurt.
When he broke his neck or whatever. Yeah, that was crushed. That was crazy. Mm-hmm.
Well, they booed Santa Claus, so that's a whole other conversation. But again, back to Scott Richmond, Rob, remember him? He's a huge Philadelphia fan.
Yes,
every time that Philly wins, he just literally texts me. He goes just goes nuts. So that dude right there, he's having his year, man, because they won the Super Bowl. Villanova, he's just in cloud nine right now too. So anytime that the Phillies are doing good, he's always like, yeah. He'll come out. He's like Roach. He'll come out of the woodwork talking some junk.
Hey,
damn.
So
I ain't gonna hit on y'all, Philly. Y'all can send me as many cheesesteaks as y'all want.
The food is good, but
send me Andre's too. Cause he hating on y'all.
Nobody likes the Philadelphia team except for Philadelphia fans. That's just one of those things. People look at their fans and like, I can't stand y'all. I don't want y'all to do anything unless they're playing somebody we all hate worse than them. Nobody is rooting for Philadelphia. It's just that fan base is just out of control.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take one of the hoagies, too.
About,
you said, boy, come on, man.
Yeah.
I know, right? You should eat a sandwich or something.
You're talking about food. You eat. So this has been a pretty interesting development as far as Carmelo Carmelo Anthony and the Houston Rockets here. So let's talk about this here. So a couple things have happened, obviously. In addition to that, Oklahoma City kind of allowed him to permission to meet with a couple teams. And, so it appears like, that the Rockets are kind of stepping up the plate. So what do you think about this, JQ? Is this kind of something that is pretty inevitable, you think, or give me some more details about that?
Well, when they lost Ariza and then they let Mbutu go to the Clippers, the writing was kind of on the wall, and we already know about the banana boat friendship between Carmelo and Chris Paul. of course, from Dwayne Wade and LeBron and Chris Bosh. But I look at it like, are they watching different tape than we watching? Because those things that Trevor Ariza did, defending out on the perimeter, knocking down some time with threes, are not things that Carmelo Anthony is going to do. And Ariza is going to be – that loss is going to be hurt. Felt a lot more than I think people are going to give it credit for. He was really one of their best wing defenders, he and Tucker, between that, you know, to the four slot where they can match up and switch on screens and play defense out there on the perimeter. And that was part of the big reason they were able to stretch Golden State to seven games. So that loss to me cannot be understated. And I don't think you come close to filling that void with Carmelo Anthony. I know they try to get him to switch roles and he's not really a stretch four, but if you're looking at that team, that's pretty much what he's going to have to do again. The thing that he didn't do well in Oklahoma City is what he's going to have to be a better Ryan Anderson, and I think he is Ryan Anderson at this point. And I know it's blasphemous to say that about Carmelo, but I don't think I'm wrong. Like I said, just being honest, the things that the Fours were doing for Houston, he's not going to be able to do unless he just goes in the time machine or just rededicates himself. And what happened to Oklahoma City and then before that in New York was just a byproduct of, oh, okay, this isn't working for me, but now I got my homeboy here. I'm going to step it up, and I've got James Harden. So unless he goes, like I said, goes to the time machine and rededicates himself, I just don't see this being a positive move for Houston. I'm glad Houston's doing this so he won't go to L.A. Houston, you do that, please, so you can take the Lakers out of the place for sure.
Yeah, well, it seems as though the two teams obviously met with Houston. He met with Miami as well, but it looks like Houston is clearly the front runner in this. Obviously taking Golden State to seven games. But, I mean, you know, JQ covered it well. I mean, losing Trevor Ariza is going to be a huge loss. Obviously going 0-11 from the three-point range in Game 7, that really hurt Houston in that Game 7. So Trevor Ariza couldn't come up big and knocking down those threes. I don't expect Carmelo Anthony to go 0-11 from behind the three-point line. But from a defensive standpoint, you know, the Rockets really contained Golden State very well, and a lot of that was due to what Ariza was able to attribute on the defensive end, which Carmelo Anthony won't even come close to doing. Like I said, I don't think he's ever been able to stop a statue from scoring since he's been in the NBA. And, so obviously. Say what?
We said, so now your emails are rocked for him. Go ahead. I was messing with you.
He ain't telling no lies.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, like I said, you know, we don't expect him to go 0-11 behind a three-point line. So it's going to be give or take. They may gain a little bit offensively, but they're going to lose a lot defensively without having Trevor Ariza. And as JQ mentioned already, he's one of the top wing defenders. He's been one of the top wing defenders in the last 8 years in the NBA. He's got great length, good athleticism. And so that's going to be a huge blow. A lot of people don't realize how well the Rockets were on defense last year, too. And, mm-hmm. I mean, with Capella, with Ariza, and with Tucker, I mean, those guys were phenomenal. They kind of hid a lot of James Harden deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
Until they got to the playoffs, and you saw James Harden, the defensive deficiencies came back out again. But, mm-hmm. you know, but yeah, they were very good defensively. So that's going to be a big blow. Oh, Kevin Knox, 29 points for the Knicks.
Yeah.
That dude right there has been balling.
Yeah, he's been balling too. I just wonder if this is a move to like get Carmelo, because I don't know if this is the right move, because again, you worry about, you know, again, if he's a passer, then you also worry about as far as if you look at the squad, you look at the team like we talked about too, as far as maybe they're trying to match the Warriors' offensive output. But again, I just don't know if this is the move, like you said, Rob, because again, it's just like, you're getting two guys that aren't known for defense, and it's just not that. I don't know. Unless you find, hey, this guy is just going to be dedicated to play some defense, or I don't know. I don't think it makes them better personally. Almost like addition by subtraction.
So.
But I don't know. Go ahead.
I think the only way it could possibly work is they got to get Carmelo to accept a lesser role. He's got to be a guy that can maybe come off the bench and just give you some
offensive
punch.
Bench.
He's just not – if he's not a starting player on a championship team, he's just not. And he's got to be willing to accept the role. The organization's got to be willing to sell him on a six-man role, coming off the bench just to maybe have some scoring punch off the bench. And then that way you hide some of his defensive liabilities a little bit more because he's not going against other teams starting units on a regular basis. So, I mean, if he can accept a role like that, it could be a help to the Houston Rockets.
Yeah,
to me,
yeah,
that's
but
the only way.
You're right. But you're right, Dre. If you wouldn't do it for Russell Westbrook, I mean, is he going to do it because Chris Paul is his homeboy? Because you had another strong Russell Westbrook and you wouldn't do it, and you had Paul George there, you wouldn't do it in that situation. I totally agree with you. The best thing for him is to have that him and Gordon coming in on that second unit and just try to run other teams out the gym with their offense when they take a step back with their bench units. But and then maybe if Carmelo's got it going, you bring him in with the starters in the fourth quarter when it's crunch time. But to start him off in the game and him, you know, starters minutes and with the zero to minus defense, really the minus defense he's going to play is not going to help. And let me just take a sidestep while we're talking about the Rockets. I understand they don't want to bid against themselves for Capella, but I tell you what, what he did for them
that's
last year, if you have faith in him, I mean, he's still there because he's restricted. So they can sign him back for, you know, if he wants to settle for such thing. But if he signs that qualifying offer and becomes unrestricted free agent next year, then now you probably have no chance to re-sign him because he's going to look at you like, oh, you guys were just, you know, y'all were, lack of a better term, dicking me around in the negotiations last year. Yeah, and he's going to have a real chip on his shoulder with them. He's going to be out the door. The same thing I think the Lakers and the Pelicans have a problem with. Boogie hits the block again next year and not wanting to gamble on him. He's going to be like, okay, really? All right. Well, you two are off the list. I feel like that could happen for the Rockets with Capella. Now you're losing Ariza and Capella maybe in successive seasons if you don't come to some kind of agreement on the contract. I think that takes them a very significant step backwards. So they may be one of those blurps that come up, you know, during the course of NBA, you know, history. And like, dang, what happened to that team? Why didn't they do more? And they're going to really rue losing Ariza and maybe Capella because of what they're doing with their negotiation for an aging star in Carmelo. I just don't understand that. Capella more than anything.
Really quickly, do you think that Carmelo is a Hall of Famer, Rob? Say that for you, JQ, too.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's a tough one. That's a really good question, too. I'm going to say
I brought
no.
it up earlier. Okay, so rather than say that he was, I just didn't know. I was curious in your thoughts. I was like,
I just don't think he's done enough in the playoffs. In my recollection, I don't know if my count is correct, but I think he's only won four playoff series since he's been in the NBA. So I don't think he's done enough. I don't think he's done enough to be a Hall of Fame. Tremendous scorer. I mean, we got to go back and look and see if guys like Alice English is in the Hall of Fame.
Bernard King.
Bernard
what
King.
I think about.
You know, players like that. Kiki Vandeweghe. Some other guys that come.
Man. Come on. Did you say Kiki Vandeweghe? Come on, Rob.
Come on, man.
He's better than Kiki Vandeweghe. Come on, man. I hear what you're saying.
Go look at the score, man.
Kiki couldn't even think about it.
Carmelo Anthony had guarded the players and been in the league.
I understand that, but he's a better player than Kiki Vandeweghe. You'd rather have Carmelo than Kiki in his prime.
Somebody's got to do some research. We got to see if Bernard King, Alice English, Kiki Vandeweghe, and we got to see the players,
Adrian Dantley. Wow, I'm at it, me and you.
We got to see Mark McGuire.
What are we checking?
We
got to
see if those
kind
of players are in the NBA Hall of Fame, and then we can maybe give a better answer. Yeah.
Just
we got to see if those kind of players are in the NBA Hall of Fame to see if Carmelo can make it to the Hall of Fame.
We are old because we went to Adrian Dantley at the same exact time. For people listening to the show, we are not text messaging during this. That was crazy to me. But you also got to do it through this prism. The NBA Hall of Fame is not as hard to get into for right or wrong as the NFL Hall of Fame or the MLB Hall of Fame. So I'm saying, I think in terms of if you view it through that prism, he is an NBA Hall of Famer. Because you can get in there just off of offense. It's much, much harder to make it to Baseball Football Hall of Fame. Those are, you got to be a stud for the most part, like a stud of the studs to make those Hall of Fames. You know, you can have a niche for 10 to 12 years of scoring the basketball in the NBA and make it if your numbers at the end of the day reflect it. He came with so much ballyhoo, you know, coming out of Syracuse off that title. I think he's in. I don't think he's a great Hall of Famer, but in terms of the NBA kind of guidelines of who they've let in, I think he makes it.
Yeah, it looked like.
I mean,
Alice
Tracy McGrady
is in the Hall of Fame.
He scored 50,000 points, though. Well,
Tracy McGrady's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it looks like he would be.
And
looking at some of the guys that we just talked about, so he would probably get in. Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to cause. Like someone was like, he's a Hall. Someone was like, they were like, he's a Hall of Famer. I'm like, what? Is he really? I had to think about that.
But you saw some of the names we just talked about. He would get
I know. It was just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
He's been on like the
yeah.
teams. He's been on the men's basketball. I mean, he's been on like a lot of. I mean.
He actually
yeah.
that style of play suited him very well. The
yep.
Olympic basketball rules with a slightly short
mm-hmm.
3-point line. I mean, he excelled in that role. Yeah, Adrian mm-hmm. Daly.
Oh, yeah,
all these guys we just named are in the Hall of Fame. So yeah, that's
Carmelo will get in.
Yep,
agree.
I'm messing around
yeah,
with
Jamal Wilkes. We have to see some, you know, players like that. You know.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually seeing you for Adrian Dantley, though. That's crazy. That's insane.
Say?
I said for me and you for Adrian Dantley at the same exact time. That's insane.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's
good. It's almost like Mark McGuire is in.
Okay.
Mark McGuire,
he might be
yeah,
one of the few out of the names we just talked about.
Vinny the Microwave over here. Man, brings back memories. All right. So we're pretty much in the agreement that, like I said, this is not the best move for Houston. And, again, just one of those situations
well,
to, like, go ahead, Rob.
I think it just comes down to how they're going to utilize. If he's going to be a starting player playing 30, 35 minutes a night, I don't think it's going to work. I don't think it makes them better, and I don't think they will remain the second-best team in the Western Conference if that's the case. If they talk about, you know, bringing him off the bench for 25 minutes and giving him some scoring punch and not guarding the other team's best players quite often during the game and kind of pairing them with Eric Gordon on that second unit, you know, I think, you know, from a scoring standpoint, you know, that could be a really good, you know, team. Obviously, they're still going to need someone to start at the small forward position. We're losing Ariza. But to me, that's the only way they can still have somewhat success. If he's going to be in that role.
Yep. All right. Good call. Like I said, so again, if you're following, so I guess, and what happened, so I guess, you know, OKC kind of gave him like a little out because they don't want to pay him. They're like, damn, he actually opted in. Like, dang it, he opted in. How can we make him kind of like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you can look at other teams.
Oh, yeah.
And then
oh, he did the right thing opting in.
Like that, so.
Nobody
yeah,
else is going to pay him that kind of money.
Of course,
mm-hmm.
that's why he did it too. But they were just like they were just like, oh man, this did not work as planned. All right, let's switch gears here. Let's talk about Boogie and how he fits in with the Warriors. Go ahead, Rob. I know you love to talk about the Warriors.
Well, I mean, you know. Oh yeah, shut up, man. obviously he's not going to get the kind of money that he had really hoped for. You know, obviously. Before that injury, he was having a stellar season and probably was guaranteed to get a max contract. So, for some regards, obviously that's a little bit of a downer for Boogie. But I think with him signing with the Warriors, only $5.3 million, it gives him an opportunity to fully heal from his injury, too. They don't have to rush him back.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're probably not going to get him back until about January or so. Realistically, and that's I think that was the time of the year when he got hurt early this year. It was in January, so I give him a full year to really try to get a recovery here. The Warriors don't need to win a championship. They already won one without him. They won two without him in the last 2 years. So obviously, and really, they've won three without him. yeah,
mm-hmm.
They've won, but yeah, they've won two in a row. So obviously, they don't really need him to rush him back. But he fits perfectly with what they're trying to do from an offensive standpoint. They spread
yep.
the floor. All of the guys can really shoot the basketball, including Draymond Green. And Cousins could do it in the paint. He can do it behind a three-point line. So he fits in perfectly with their style of play and their flow on offense. You know, the only knock on Boogie Cousins is sometimes he gets a little lazy and gets back on defense. But other than that, you know, once he gets healthy, he fits in perfectly with that team, and now you got a team of – you go from a team of 5 All-Stars to a team of 6 All-Stars now if he's healthy, which is just flat-out scary.
Do you think
that – you can
get
in the Rockets to re-sign Gerald Green in a one-year deal.
Yeah.
You
got
to stop talking
ahead,
about Iguodala as that All-Star. Stop it. I like him, but he's – stop it. Yeah, but
Iguodala
my thing
would
is,
still be an all-star if he's on some teams.
No, he would not be. He can't stay healthy. He would have, he wouldn't do that in a major in a major role with more minutes. It's perfect where he is. Stop it. But he's very valuable. Don't get me wrong. But he's very valuable. But he wouldn't be an all-star with the Sacramento Kings. He absolutely would not.
Oh, gosh.
The thing about with Boogie is it still also is some level of insurance, right? You do that. You, to Rob's point, where I agree with him, is that you don't have to rush him back because you've got a well-oiled machine. You can ease him into it. And that Achilles being back in January, I still don't think you get Boogie that you think you're getting in January. You're going to get about 60 to 70% of that guy. He's about to work his way as they go to the playoffs, again, hopefully for him, back to being who he was before that Achilles. But being a big man with that Achilles injury, it's almost a two-year thing where you come back and you try to get yourself back to where you were. And then that second year, about 4 years, you're like, okay, now I'm back to being me. But to me, it's a goodwill gesture. You look at it, it's like, okay, if he does and he doesn't get all the way back, maybe that's a good thing for them financially because, you paid Draymond. You may end up having to move him because their bill is going to be crazy. You know, Curry and Durant are on the books, and Clay is going to be up for a contract. So it's like, you know, can I get him for a little less money and let Clay walk and still say I've got enough shooting with what I have, and then but I'm better down low with Boogie. So to me, for them, it's a very goodwill thing to do when you don't have to rush him. And that's what I was talking about with the Lakers and the Pelicans. The Pelicans have, you know, bigger designs coming off the playoffs and the first round Super Portland, where I can see them saying maybe they can't really wait on that, and you see them respond by getting Julius Randle. But for the Lakers, and I know I'm a homer, you don't have any expectations of doing anything this year. That 5.3 to me, in terms of a goodwill gesture of we believe you're going to be back, you can be our second star with LeBron as you work your way back from this injury. We think you're going to be that guy. For me, I don't understand why they wouldn't have put that out there saying, okay, we were never going to be a threat to win the title even with LeBron this year anyway. We get him in the building, the culture. You know, maybe he becomes our second star. Now we don't have to give up the whole house to go get a Kawhi Leonard or, you know, or something else of that nature. I think that's a missed opportunity. It's great by the Warriors. It's the risk getting richer for somebody of his status that didn't have an offer. And they were like, yeah, the money we're going to give JaMale McGee that the Lakers gave him, we'll give that to you and let you work your way back in and then hopefully convince you to stay here after this year. It's a fantastic move for both of them. I just don't understand it from the Lakers' position. I don't.
Yeah, I was going to say it's almost a perfect move for the Warriors, but it's crazy how they don't really need him until the playoffs. That's exactly when you get him back, like you said, Jake. Yeah, I agree with you.
They don't need him then. Like,
but still, they can sit him on the bench. You ready to play? Mm-hmm. Come on in. And I was messing with you, Rob, but the reason why I asked your perspective is because obviously, you know, you've watched him for whenever he's playing with the Pelicans too. And I know it was very shocking that they did not offer him a contract because I'm sure they weren't sure how he was going to heal. But then –
yeah. Well, let's put some clarity behind that.
Yeah,
when he got hurt, the Pelicans actually did offer him a 2-year, $40 million deal and during the season. And Boogie did not accept the offer because he wanted a max deal. He thought he can get a max deal. And the Pelicans made it clear to him that they weren't going to be able to give him a max deal. And so, you know, when he didn't accept the 2-year, $40 million deal, they eventually pulled the offer. And so, and they decided to let him, you know, move on. But they did offer him a contract, but just not at the end of free agency. Or start of free agency, I should say.
All right, this question is for you, JQ, because my barber is a huge LeBron fan. He's not a Lakers fan. He's a LeBron fan. So wherever LeBron goes, he follows. And his thought was that he wanted nothing to do with Boogie Cousins because he thinks Boogie is a head case, you know, whatever. He's like, LeBron didn't want any of that. I'm like, you're crazy. I think the Lakers would have watched. So what's your thoughts? Do you think the Lakers would have considered? I mean, is that a good move or is he kind of right as far as he's a head case? He's not a good dude or he's not good basketball IQ?
They can. No, but you can't say that, though, and then have LeBron sign off on getting – Rondo and Lance Stephenson, especially Lance Stephenson. If you're going to call Boogie a head case, what you going to call Lance Stephenson? And I read a story where LeBron reached out to Lance Stephenson's agents to get him to come to L.A. on that one-year deal. This wasn't Magic doing it without the consent of LeBron. This was LeBron actively helping Magic recruit. So if I'm going to say that LeBron doesn't want that, then I can't go with that argument. Because if you're going to recruit Lance Stephenson, then you can definitely deal with Boogie. Because Boogie is as every bit as crazy as Lance, but he's way more talented. So to me, the 5.3 is a goodwill gesture of we want you to be part of this. We know we're not going to have you for this long, for healthy for maybe, you know, a third of the season, probably a quarter of the season. But we value this, and we want to see where this may go. I think if they had done that to Boogie, he would have been like, oh, man, hell yeah. I get in there. Maybe him and LeBron clash should have done work. But again, it's a one-year deal. Like they've done for all the other things, you can hit the reset button, which is what I've liked about some of the moves. If it doesn't work, it blow up in your face, hey, you can start over next year, all one-year deals. You're not capped out like Cleveland was, giving out 2-, 3-, 4-year deals to dudes that couldn't live up to that contract. So that's why I say that. I just don't understand that from that perspective. When you don't have title aspirations this year, why not make that move and see what happens?
Yeah, fair enough. That was good. I appreciate that, Kurt, because like I said, he was just like, he was giving me the fifth degree. I'm like, dude, I'm telling you, if the Lakers would have been able to sign, they would have signed him in a heartbeat. So I was just curious about that. So speaking of,
you know, Rondo LeBron, used to wear a T-shirt say LeBron is a, you know what?
It's a bitch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I was waiting for JQ
right.
to finish.
Sorry, I'm just saying, but if you're gonna do that, that means to me that they just didn't feel like he was medically there, and they wanted to use that 5.3 somewhere else. That's why I disagree with them. I don't think it has anything to do with the head case, because if we want to talk about it, we're getting to LeBron. All those dudes that were, you know, maybe not JR because he's crazy, but that were all just shooters and couldn't do other things, that didn't work out all the time. You know, once you got them off their spot, they were useless. They're trying to put their young guys who can shoot outside of Lonzo with guys that are going to have a grit and an edge with them and play defense. I still feel like they should have at least tried with Boogie to see, just for that goodwill faith, because maybe it pays dividends down the line. But, you know, I don't cut the checks. It's Magic's job and Palinka's job, so we'll see.
So the question is, now that you got LeBron, can he lead the Lakers to the Western Conference Finals, JQ?
Not this year. No, not this year. For those reasons I mentioned, I understood what they were trying. Now that I think about it, I understood what they were trying to do. They're saying, okay, not Lonzo, but you're talking about Hart and Ingram and Kuzma, who can shoot the ball. And then you got the two guys in the draft. You know, I hate the Wagner pick, but he can shoot the three ball. And so can the guy who's been shooting the second round pick, has been lighting it up, really, for them in the summer league. So if your thought process is, I've got those guys as shooters, I bring in these other guys to bring veteran leadership and an edge and grit, and then we mix and match on game flow and play and see how it works out and give ourselves a chance. And if it don't work, guess what? That next year with Jimmy Butler, Kawhi Leonard, and a couple other guys, when they become free agents in 2019, you can hit the reset button. You're not tied to onerous contracts. They're all one-year deals. You can start over again. So from that aspect for them, I understand that. But right now, no. I mean, it really is about, to me at this point, if they can get Kawhi, what they have to give up to get Kawhi. Kawhi is still Kawhi, because that Kawhi, we haven't seen him do a darn thing. He is in the best, you know, witness protection program ever invented. I don't think anybody's even seen him on the street. So, because, I mean, TMZ can find you if you get on the street. I mean, you don't even see pictures of Kawhi, you know, eating some kettle corn somewhere. Like, he ain't anywhere to be found. So,
yeah.
I just don't feel like, with that uncertainty, given what he has, I think they can challenge for a playoff spot. But to say they're going to jump all the way from the 11th team to winning the Western Conference Finals, even as unabashed Lakers fan, I cannot in good conscience say that. I would love to see it, but the objective part of me is like, no, they're not there.
Rob?
Oh, I totally agree. I don't see them jumping all the way to being the second best team in the Western Conference. Obviously, we just talked about Houston, and we've got to see how their roster is going to shape up here the rest of the free agency period and see how that goes. Obviously, you know, we still got to look at other teams that won the Final Four in the Western Conference, the Pelicans and the Jazz, and then the Thunder, too. Another year of playing together, Russell Westbrook and Paul George. You know, who knows? Maybe they make a leap as well. I mean, you got so many teams in the Western Conference. And, you know, the Lakers right now, LeBron is still really the only true star. I mean, do we expect one of those young guys to take a great leap this year? Ingram, you know, maybe he has the best chance, but I don't see him making that leap just yet. Obviously, with him being the only star and pretty much a whole lot of role players there, I see them definitely making the playoffs. But I don't know. I just can't see them making that big of a leap. Because when you, like I said, when you really think about it, yeah, you still got to put Houston ahead of them. We don't know what the situation with the Spurs is right now. And you can really arguably still put the Pelicans and the Jazz ahead of them. Pelicans still got Drew Holiday and Anthony Davis, and now you add just Julius Randle to the mix, and and then you got Jack. Oh, come on! The Lakers don't have those stars other than LeBron.
Fair enough. Okay, all right.
Jazz got Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert. The Thunder's got two stars. So, I mean, I just can't see them jumping all the way to being the second-best team in the West. I can't.
I would say the second.
No, if they find a way to get Kawhi Leonard and if Kawhi is healthy, now that's a different story. But as the team is constructed right now.
It depends on what they give up.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as the team is constructed right now, I can't see them going to the Western Conference Finals.
And we haven't talked about the Nuggets yet, who were right there just the last game of the season losing to the Wolves.
Yeah.
Another team
Minnesota.
We aren't talking about, the 8th and 9th. Yeah, but I can't give you the Pelicans. Losing Rondo.
That's what I was saying.
And what he was doing in the playoffs.
That's what I was saying.
And then not being able to get Cousins back. I think they take a significant step backwards without his playmaking. I don't think Rondo is enough.
Yeah, Rondo
in terms
for
of,
sure. But you don't have to realize we didn't even have Cousins in the playoffs. So that may not be
that's true,
as big of a drop off as
it.
People think. But yeah,
Rondo's a huge loss.
I give you Rondo.
Yeah,
I give you Rondo.
100%.
But don't be surprised if another move is made on that front too.
All right, we got about four minutes.
Did you walk
there.
Somebody in the gym?
What happened?
Go ahead. I was going to say that I don't know if you saw Alvin Gentry on the Delta flight and he gave some inside information. You know how Rob
he'd
be rubbing elbows at the start at the airport in the gym.
Oh man.
So let's talk about this. No, it's all good. We got 3 minutes here. We got about a minute to kind of talk about this, and we'll get into the OT portion about the Spurs' intentions for Kawhi Leonard. We always talk about this here. So, Rob, any details about this? You talk about folks you know in the airport and like that. Go ahead.
Y'all are crazy. Well, I'll tell you this. I don't foresee the Spurs doing anything until training camp at the earliest at this point. They're going to weigh out all the options here. And I actually think there are teams on the Eastern Conference that are really becoming front runners. There are about 12 teams right now that have made it known that they don't have to have a commitment from Kawhi Leonard, that they will be willing to make a trade for him, even without a commitment beyond next year. So, I mean, that's, obviously, to me, that's a big risk. But, there's some teams in the Eastern Conference here, like Toronto, with general managers got connections with Greg Popovich. The head coach of Philadelphia, Brent Brown, got connections with Popovich. Those are two teams you got to really watch here in this deal in regards to Kawhi Leonard as well. So the Spurs have a lot of options here, and they're going to wait until training camp at the earliest before they make a move, if they make a move. So I don't expect anything done until October at the earliest in regards to Kawhi Leonard. The Spurs are going to let this thing play out. They're going to try to get their best offer. They want to try to have as much leverage as possible in this situation. And so they're going to play this thing out and kind of wait and see what happens here. Like I said, I don't see anything happening until October at the earliest on Kawhi Leonard.
So to the OT portion. Go ahead. We're done. Go ahead. Go ahead, Rob. I'll let you answer, Jake, after this.
Oh, we're getting ready to go. We still got more NBA talk, people, so you don't want to miss our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live. Click on the same link. We still got some more NBA free agency. We're going to start doing our NFL division predictions. We're going to start with the NFC North tonight, and we'll get you another division on next week for sure, at least one more. So every week we're going to be up until the season. We'll be previewing division here in the NFL. So we'll get that going for you as well in the OT portion. So you don't want to miss it. Click on the same link on tomorrow. Next week, we're going to come to you on Wednesday night. We're going to come to you on Wednesday night, the 18th of next week. It'll be the night after the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. We'll be coming to you recapping that along whatever else is happening in the sports world. It's usually the same night as the ESPYs, but we're going to overshine them, and we're going to do our show on Wednesday night, the 18th. Good night, people.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I'll be in recuperation mode like Andre is tonight, so y'all got to bear with me on the 18th, but I definitely will be in the starting lineup for us. Appreciate y'all for listening to the show and downloading and listening to the OT. I agree and kind of disagree with Rob on the Spurs, so make sure y'all listen to that and get my take on it. Let me know how you feel about it. Good night. Talk to you next Wednesday.
Let me miss some flights from Paul to sleep with Robert Williams either. That's my little two cents for y'all. But
I know that dude, Derek.
Go ahead. We got so excited about
man.
So picking him up.
Don't get
and
so hungover, man, like the movie, man. You remember what happened the night before.
That's crazy.
Yeah, no, that's Andre. He was in Vegas.
Yeah.
I ain't going to do it that bad. I got stuff to do.
He wound up having a tiger in your
room
and everything.
I've never been that drunk. I've never been that drunk. I mean, I don't even like throwing up, man. So that's just me, man. So that's me. I'm kind of, I know when to stop.
Well,
say, you know, and I'm not a heavy drinker, so it's all good. I have a little fun, so it's all good.
Yeah. Well, I definitely can't tell that lie. But getting back, I agree with you that they. It's hard for me because I agree and disagree with you and myself at the same time. And I know that sounds real crazy, but this is why. In the fact that I think they are maybe trying to get a little too much for Kawhi, given the fact that everything that's being stated about it, he's not coming out to dispute any of it or say, no, I'm good, I'm going to be a Spur. And I wonder if that whole Tony Parker let him go, since Tony Parker was the one that came out talking crazy about him, was something in the Spurs bag or trying to preemptively saying, okay, yeah, dude, they talk bad about you, he gone, please come back to us. I think they're still trying to salvage it, and I think they also want to have teams see that he's healthy so they can try to get that maximum value. But the flip side of that is, as long as this goes on and he doesn't say anything to deter not wanting to be in San Antonio, every day that goes by, you lose a little leverage in what you can get. Because, like you said, those teams have said that, but what are they offering in terms of a package that maybe another team that was you know, like the Lakers or the Clippers were going to maybe give you some more picks or whatnot, maybe they pull those offers off the table. They're like, well, we don't have to do as much now because, you know, he's by not saying anything, he's making it known that he's out of here. So those other teams, they may pull back some of the offers like, yeah, we'll do it, a half-year rental, a four-year rental, but, you know, our top player, not getting him. That multiple first-round picks you want, yeah, I might give you one. I might give you two, or one and one of my rotational players or young stars. But I'm not giving you two of my young stars and two picks, or the right to switch first-round picks with, is what I've heard that they want to also do with the Lakers in terms of Kuzma and Ingram. Like, these dream packages that they're working on under the assumption that Kawhi's got, like, 3 or 4 years left on his deal, to me, is sometimes overplaying your hand. And you may look up at training camp, and he looks to have the goods. But if he's still out there, you know, witness protection and not saying anything, and like, yeah, I'm still going to L.A. come hell or high water, what package did you turn down in July that is going to be – is anything going to be that good in October if this continues to fester? So why you have to do your due diligence, and because of the star, his magnitude, to try to mend that relationship, you lose some of your leverage the longer he goes without saying anything. Because if I'm one of those teams like Philly, Toronto, unless I'm just ready of – and they might be ready to get it off, say – DeRozan or Kyle Lowry and a first and somebody else for Kawhi. Is that enough for San Antonio? Would they feel like they won that deal over maybe what the Lakers may have offered, where they only offered one of those stars and the right to change picks with them in three of the first rounds? Like, is that a better deal than what a deal you could have gotten done with the Lakers instead of trying to ask for everybody on their team? You know what I mean? So that's why I'm stuck with San Antonio in terms of what they're doing. They're in a bad spot because he's not helping them by being missing in action. But if you see something, you're like, man, listen, this is a really good offer. It may not get any better than this, and it may not be what we were asking for, but we were always starting our negotiation high to try to meet in the middle. This is this middle deal. Maybe we just go ahead and make it here in July and just say it is what it is, because that deal may not exist in October.
Good call. All right. I like it. Wait, I was going to ask him else, so I'm going to say that for next week as far as some stuff with Kawhi, because we've heard some rumors about him, like, maybe going to the Clippers, but I don't even know if that's smoke or fire, man. So we'll talk about that, too. All right, guys, two more topics here. If LeBron had joined the Sixers, would they have dethroned the Warriors is the question, Rob. So what do you think? Would that have been a better move, you think, or tell me a little more about that situation?
I really think that we would have had – well, I'm just going to say this. I don't know if it would have thrown the Warriors, but I think we could have seen some really good NBA finals here in the next 3 to 4 years with the Sixers against the Warriors if he would have went to Philadelphia. I really believe that. Obviously, this Cleveland team he was – you know, had – he just didn't have the personnel to really compete with them. And, you know, he had an opportunity to win the game or two in the series, and we won't talk about those blunders again. But I really think we would have had some really good NBA finals going forward for at least the next 3 to 4 years if he had gone to Philadelphia. And what a lot of people don't realize here with Philadelphia, Philadelphia would have had a chance to even get a fourth star because Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are still on their rookie deals. And they would have had the cap space to even get another star on that team. And you would have had the capability of really putting together a really super team there in Philadelphia while those guys were on their rookie deals. And so definitely, I mean, they would have had an opportunity. And supposedly they were actually trying to get LeBron and Kawhi to go with Simmons. I don't know how they were going to do that. But like I said, we got positionless basketball now, so they probably could have made it work. But, you know, surround Simmons and Embiid and LeBron with some outside shooters. That could have been really interesting for the NBA Finals and probably would have been very good for the NBA here for the next 3 to 4 years.
The thing about it is, though, if that had to happen, I won't even know if I'll take it directly to the NBA Finals. Those Eastern Conference Finals, if Boston stays presently constructed, is going to would be a clash that the NBA would love. Philadelphia versus Boston for the right to go to the finals to play the Warriors. When you got those two old school franchises in the East, that would have been something. But with the Sixers, you're right. With the deal that I heard, the Sixers for Kawhi would have been Saric, Covington, and a couple number ones. So you lose, you know, your outside shooting, and do you get J.J. Redick back then in that thing? If you get Kawhi, you get capped out. How much less does J.J. take? Because I think he signed a one-year $12 million deal, if I'm not mistaken, to come back to Philadelphia. Can you? I don't know if you can sign him for that in that piece. Does he take less money? Like, you know what, whatever, I'll take this five or six because I got these four dudes. Here we come, you know, give us our rings. Does he do that? He might. He's a smart guy, but then he might say, you know what, I'm a specialist. I got to get every big contract I can get so I can live like they living. So I think that's a big piece of it because if he doesn't come back and you give up Covington and Saric, you've got four all-stars, but that shooting has taken a very, very big hit. And you're going to need that somewhat, you know, even if you play good defense, you're going to feel the Warriors are still going to be able to get hot in a couple of those games where they just are unconscious. And you got to find a way to match them somewhat. And I don't know if they would have had that ability if in hypothetical he goes and they get Kawhi and giving up those pieces and they can't re-sign J.J. But it would have, like I said, it would have been ridiculous. He'd been a lot closer to the throwing in the Warriors from day one in Philadelphia than he would be with L.A. right now.
Yep. All right. Last topic. We are ready to talk some football here. Never the American football, not like obviously world football here. But let's talk about that. And, again, we're going to kind of dedicate this to the NFC North. We've got the Bears, the Lions, the Packers, and the Vikings. And there's been some interesting moves because, you know, obviously, Rob, hope you're okay. We're talking about the Vikings and everything like that, too. So sorry to not have Big Mike on the show either, JQ. But, yeah, and then obviously two of those squads have new coaches. That's funny. Have new coaches with, you know, the Bears and obviously with, you know, the Lions. Well, the Lions were recently, obviously, with Patricia. But so tell us a little bit more about what's going to happen here and if you think that the Vikings are going to kind of step up to the plate or, again, Aaron Rodgers is going to have a little off year. So what say you about that, Rob?
Well, to me, this is a very intriguing division. I mean, obviously on the surface, you look at what the Vikings did on last year, and you look at how well they played on defense. But I also look at a team.
And Kirk Cousins.
Obviously, they got a new quarterback. They got Kirk Cousins coming in. And I look at some areas on their back seven on defense where they started to look a little vulnerable toward the end of the season last year. I don't think a lot of people noticed that. They were starting to have some deficiency there. They were still playing very well with the front four. I still expect them to be in the mix. But to me, for some reason, I just think that the Packers are healthy. They're the team to beat in that division this season. And they can keep – and it all starts with number 12, the gunslinger, Aaron Rodgers. If they can able to keep him healthy, he's got another weapon in Jimmy Graham. And if they can have a solid running game, a good offensive line, they made some moves on the defensive end. I just think that if that team, well, particularly Aaron Rodgers, is healthy, I have them number one in that division this year. I dropped the Vikings down one spot to number two, dropped them to the number two spot. And then it comes down to me, has the Bears made enough improvements to move up to the number three spot? They made a lot of moves in free agency. Their defense was already very good, and they looked to have even gotten better on defense. And went out and got Mitch Trubisky a few weapons on offense. I'm going to move them up a spot to the three spot. And I know Matt Patricia's first year as a head coach here in Detroit. I'm going to drop them down to the number four spot. And that's my prediction for the NFC North.
Wow. That's crazy. I have the exact same thing. I think that people underestimate that, you know, those going to Chicago matches that you thought you were getting or playing them in your home was going to be easy wins. That's no longer the case. Like you said, they actually played really well, beating a Pittsburgh team, and I forget, not Jacksonville. They beat somebody else, too, that they should. Everybody was like, what? And that Bears defense is playing much better. If Allen Robinson comes back healthy from that injury, another weapon there. Quietly, Jordan Howard has been really effective, you know, for them in the backfield. I believe they went and got a tight end as well. So they're trying to put some pieces around them with that defense. I agree. I think the Lions regress because they still don't have a run game that we can speak of and may get better. I know they drafted a running back. I'm losing his name right now. And they also signed Blunt to bolster that backfield. So I see Chicago and Detroit. I can see them being either 3 or 4 in any order. I think it's a coin flip really right now. I think Chicago has improved that much. But Rob hit it on the head. That Minnesota defense started to get real leaky. You still got a 42-year-old Terrence Newman playing defensive back, and Trey Waynes has not been great. I mean, Xavier Rhodes is really good, and so is Harrison Smith. But if you can stay away from those guys and attack other areas of that defense, you can move the ball and score points from them, as has been shown there in the latter part of last year, and definitely in the playoffs where they were giving up over 30 points routinely. So if you got Aaron Rodgers, you definitely got a chance. Devontae Adams, Jimmy Graham, Aaron Wednesday, I mean, they've got a running back committee there. If they can get Randall Cobb to be somewhat more of what he was, running out of the slot there, I think it's hard for me. You know me. I'm going to go with the quarterback, and I like Kirk Cousins. But if it's Aaron Rodgers versus Kirk Cousins for the NFC North title, I'm going with Aaron Rodgers in the Packers until I see it done the other way. So I agree with Rob's rankers there. Packers first, Vikings second. Then that's crazy to say the Vikings second with everything they've done. And to me, it's a coin flip for Chicago and Detroit in the third and fourth slots.
Yeah. Kerryon Johnson, the running back Detroit drafted in the second round. Running back
from Harvard. Yep.
Yeah. So we'll see what kind of impact he'll have.
Thanks, Rob. Mm-hmm. Good call on that.
Yeah, I like Kerry.
And I agree with you guys, too. Yeah. Good. Like I said, again, it's just a good call on that. I agree as well, man. Just looking at the way that everything. Big Mike is smiling somewhere, too, but you cannot go against Aaron Rodgers. That dude makes anyone look good, too. Again, we will see how big of a loss Jordy Nelson was, but I still think because you do have Aaron Rodgers that you can supersede that, too, man. So, again, number 12 is definitely the man, to say the least. All right, guys. It's been a good show.
The Packers had Jordy Nelson in their building. So if they feel like you lost a step, they would know better than anybody else. So don't underestimate that either.
I'm not underestimating. I'm just saying we'll see how big of a loss, too. Yeah. Again, there's a couple. Go ahead. Let me cut you off. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm saying you're right, Rob. And I think the offset that is you say, okay, I'm losing Jordan. We know what he has done. Can he do it anymore? We don't know. But you've seen Devontae Adams, and he was a real stud when Jordy was not able to do it. And it was like, okay, we got to pay Devontae Adams more attention. He was still producing. Now you give Aaron Rodgers a tight end over the middle, a security blanket as talented as Jimmy Graham. I think he's somebody else that just needed a little bit longer to come back from a devastating knee injury. I think you see a better Jimmy Graham with Aaron Rodgers. And Jimmy Graham and Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers in the red zone with just a pulse of a run attack is going to be really, really hard to stop. And that's why I say that. I think that it really hinges on the Devontae Adams continuing to make that next step. And he's not talked about, you know, in terms of your up-and-comers like Stephon Diggs and those guys. Devontae Adams is legit number one, especially having Aaron Rodgers throw the ball. The Packers, if they get, you know, if they can hold a team to 21 to 24 points, you got to feel comfortable that Aaron Rodgers can score 24 to 28.
Good call. You like the Jimmy Graham pickup, and you do like the progression of Devontae Adams. I'm just saying, too, just again, we'll see what – I wasn't saying that it was like crap. I'm saying just go see how that move's going to impact them as well, too, because I do think they're losing something with Jordy. But it's all good. They're losing some veteran stuff, too. But all good. Let's wrap this up. Rob, again, wrap up the show. Or if you have anything else to say before we get ready to wrap up, then I'll let you guys kind of do your thing, and kind of we'll go from there.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we certainly appreciate all of you all tuning in on tonight. We're going to be back on next week on Wednesday night. We're going to be on Wednesday night, the 18th, coming to you on Wednesday night. Today will be the night after the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Obviously, we will recap that, obviously get an update on where we are in the NBA free agency, and we're going to be slowly getting ready for NFL training camps, and we're going to have some more predictions on some NFL divisions going into the season here, which is just rapidly approaching us. So you don't want to miss the show next Wednesday night.
11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we will be looking forward to having you join us. Good night, people.
Okay, so I'm going to throw a monkey wrench into this because I've been thinking about it. I just haven't had a chance to talk to y'all in person about it. Before I get to that, my people's on the East Coast hit me up, tell me where I need to go to hang out, you know, for all the all-star activities and whatnot. I'm looking for y'all to help your boy out when I'm up there. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. But my last thing, that, you know, I don't want to spend 15, 20 minutes on, but is LeBron James an asshole and we just don't all know it? Like, I've just been thinking about this whole, now Kawhi don't want to go because LeBron's there. Paul George jumps out before, you know, I don't know if he knew LeBron was going to Lakers. He said, oh, well, damn that. Or he was like, I'm not waiting on this diva dude. Like, he's somebody that, for his greatness in terms of what he can do on the basketball court, it just don't seem like dudes want to play with him. And I think he understands that now. And he's just like, well, you know what? Well, bump it then. You know, give me the role players and your young stars. I can make them into better stars, and I get these role players, and we're going to do this. And I just it's fascinating to me of somebody of his caliber where, you know, where he goes to Los Angeles where, you know, the weather and the ladies and the money to be made and the mystique, and nobody was actively like, there was like a big shrug out with the other NBA stars like, yeah, I'm not going to push to go there, though. You know, even if I could, I'm not going to do it. I could sign outright in terms of Paul George. I just wonder, right, like, what's going on? Like, is he – like, he has his detractors of the flop, and they say complaining and whatnot, but it seems like there's a kind of a dude-to-dude kind of interaction missing with him and some of the other stars. Like, they dap him up and, like, all that for the camera. But nobody's in a rush to go play with him. Like, you know, I can go with him, and we can get such and such, and we can go, we can take the Warriors down. We're tired of this. We can do this. Like, I don't feel like that's happening. Am I wrong?
Well, there could be this could be a lot of truth to that. And you got to think about it. When you have a guy of that caliber who's going to be very demanding of his teammates, it takes a very special player to go and join someone like that. I mean, you know, you could say the same about Kobe Bryant toward the end of his career, you know, Dwight Howard and all those guys. They didn't want to play with him. And, you know, they didn't like his personality and things of that nature. And Jordan, I mean, you know, Pippen was there because, you know, for the most part, Pippen was drafted to go there. You know, he was there already, and but he was, you know, had the very demanding personalities. But, you know, like I said, probably the best example would be more so Kobe, because you saw that even with him, that guys didn't enjoy playing with them. And but they have such demanding personalities; they expect perfection, and they expect it out of their teammates as well. And it's not easy for guys to play along with that. I mean, you saw Shaq and Kobe clash and things of that nature too, even prior to, you know, the players that didn't want to play with him toward the end of his career. So, I mean, those type of players, they just demand so much of you, and it just takes special human beings to want to play with them.
Okay, I give you that. But my thing about that is that Kobe was a known asshole from day one. Like, and everybody, you know, that was his perception around the league, even from us as fans. Like, Kobe's a dick. Like, I don't feel like people had that sort of about LeBron. Maybe the, you know, the decision, people got mad at him the way he did it, and I can understand that. But just a full-blown, you know what, I don't feel like he had that kind of image like Kobe had. Like, Kobe's a killer, but Kobe just is a jerk. I don't want no parts of him. Like, I don't feel like that necessarily has been the topical narrative with LeBron like it was with Kobe when you knew that was the case. That's what I'm saying. I wonder if there's something else under the surface that I don't know that it's bubbled up enough for us to get to that point where I just worry about it. But I look at Paul George, Russell Westbrook to me appears to be a full-blown ass. And he resigned there, you know, willingly. So it's like, what is going on with LeBron in terms of a man-to-man, dude-to-dude relationship where they just like, I just don't F with this dude, period. Like, I'm not doing it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that is what kind of throws me back for somebody of his nature, of his stature. Of how you view it versus the public perception. I think we all kind of feel that. We all knew that about Kobe, for sure. And the way Russell's conducting himself, I think we all kind of feel that way about him. But I don't feel like we always all talked about, in terms of our top three adjectives when we go to LeBron, of being difficult or being an ass like we were for some of them. So that's why I'm like, it feels like it's got to be something else there that we're missing, that he's doing a great job of controlling that hasn't come out, where dudes just don't like that dude for real. Like, man to man.
Yeah, could be. And, you know, his real closest friends, he really hadn't had an opportunity to play with them other than Dwayne Wade. And even this past season, I guess Wade wanted to go back to Miami.
And so, I mean, yeah, could be some very much true to that. We don't obviously don't know. He's never had a real opportunity to play with Chris Paul. It just never aligned properly. You know, well, you know, unless they could have joined up and gone to the Lakers this year. But obviously Paul was just on the team that went to the Western Conference Finals. And, yeah, so, I mean, Carmelo, another one of his buddies, will be available. But, you know, I don't think he even wants no part of Carmelo.
I agree.
So, yeah, I don't even think he's going to be soliciting for Carmelo. Yeah, you know, it could be one of those kind of things, too. Let's just think about it here. The Warriors won their third championship in 4 years. And as soon as the season was over, what was all the talk was about?
LeBron.
Mm-hmm. LeBron.
No. Yeah. I mean, it was slap in the face to the Warriors. Because all the talk was about, the whole month of June was about LeBron James and where he was going. And so, yeah, obviously, if you're going to play with LeBron James, he's still going to get all the attention. And, you know, do guys like that? And so, I mean, that's just the way that the NBA has been since he's come out of high school at 18 years old. And the league has been all about LeBron James. And like I said, the Warriors won a third title in 4 years. And as soon as the championship was over, the number one question was, what will LeBron do now? Where is he going to go? And that's what we heard the entire month of June, all the way into his announcement.
I'll say that.
Yeah, you know what?
I will say.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you. JQ, I agree with you. It's weird because you would think that, you know, he's not an asshole like Kobe. You would think that some teams would say, hey, let's play. But there's something else. I can't put a finger on it either because you definitely think, it's a slam dunk getting Paul George, getting, you know, freaking Kawhi, Boogie, something. And even why did Kyrie leave? Now we're starting to question, why did you leave, you know, because you had a pretty good thing going. I mean, you know, you could have kept it, you know, you supposedly could have kept it going. But, yeah, there's something else to it. I agree with you. Go harder. Finish your thought. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, well, I think it's two things. Like I said, I think it's his personality being demanding. I think his personality, if he wanted to run an organization,
he wants
to be the general manager where he is as well. So he's demanding of his teammates. He wants control of your organization, and he's going to get all the limelight.
You know what, Rob? The more you say that, I agree. I think, and as I think about it, I'm glad I posed it because I didn't think about it in terms of that. I think it's also sometimes an ego thing and the fragility of the ego of I can go bust my hump and be great. But like you said, if LeBron's there and we win it, it ain't going to be about necessarily always about what I do. Maybe for a little bit in that moment, but it's going to be, oh, yeah, LeBron furthering his legacy, yada, 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 LeBron, 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 LeBron. So that might be too. That might be more to it. And maybe he's not just, you know, he's not overly, not affectionate, but overly where he's such a good dude. I can live with him getting all the credit. I think, like you said, he's so demanding in that piece of it that it may well be the wrong way. And the fact of if I go there with him, you know, I lose my shine as Paul George or as, like you said, as Kyrie. Did y'all not see me play this whole season, this postseason? Why are you just talking about him? Like, I did a whole lot. Without me, we don't even make it this far. But yet the narrative is always about LeBron. And that may be it. It may just come down to a pure ego thing of I can't have everything that I think I should have as star player X in this league because I'm playing with LeBron. So I'm sorry. I just wanted to throw it out there because we haven't really gotten to that level of how all these other teams are coming together with stars that are maybe close to his level but not at his level. But you have a chance to go be with him. Everybody's kind of just giving a collective shoulder shrug like, I'm good where I am.
Mm-hmm. All right, Trae Young had his best game today. Wendell Carter had a great game too.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I'm on the Wendell Carter fan
club. Give JQ credit on Wendell Carter. He's been playing really well too, man. That's been good to see him. And, it's been good to see Trae. I mean, I haven't been as hard as, like, Hawks fans. But, you know, hey, we knew that he's young, man. He's got to grow, man. But, again, good progress. And
man,
you know he's got to
hit. Some of the shots he hit today.
Yeah, he was hitting some shots.
Some of those shots are out there 40 feet.
Yeah,
that's the thing about getting him. It's the excitement. It's the excitement he's going to bring. It may not work, and it may go down in flames. But the thing about it is, it's going to be spectacular either way. Either he's going to be really good, spectacular. It's going to go down spectacularly in flames. And if you're the Hulk trying to make a name and get back to something, it's something to be said for bringing that kind of level of excitement and anticipation into the building when you didn't have anything close to that. So we talked about him for maybe drafting too high, but if he's going to come out and do that, you know, for 50 or 60 to 82 games in his rookie year, you're like, you know, we might have something. He's got a buzz going back in Phillips Arena. Then at that point, and you still get a first-round pick, it may not be high, but you're still going to get one from Dallas out of it. It may be worth it. He's proven right now in the summer league, so take it with a grain of salt. But he's proven right now that if he can bring that level of excitement that what we've been missing, it's hard to capture that. And the Hawks, for whatever reason, Atlanta teams can't sign that guy to come to their team, which is, you know me, I just don't understand it as an Atlanta resident living here for what you can have as a young African-American male in this city with that kind of money, why you wouldn't want to. But so if you can homegrown them, grow them, and get that level of excitement, I mean, it's hard to replicate.
It to me, it all starts with the organization and the management. And not to I know Andre is probably really a Warriors fan right now, but not to say anything bad about the Atlanta Hawks, but the structure of the organization is not in place to really attract players to go play there right now, even though you mentioned the things about the city. But the organization has to be the selling point, and you have to have the right management in place, and they don't at the moment.
That's true.
Fair enough. Yeah, they sure are. Like I said, it sucks because, you know, whenever Danny Ferringer, that was the basketball guy that you actually liked, but then you know what happened with that? That went down in flames, and it just hasn't – it's just been rough. You know, even having Budenholzer was at least a step in the right direction. Now we just seem like we were, again, right back to where we were before. So it's just – got to go the opposite direction going excitement. You know, you got to go all young. You got to sell them. Budenholzer didn't want to be here anymore. Didn't want to be part of the rebuilding process. So I get it. So, you know, let's try plan B, I guess, and see how it plays out.
But, you have to have the management. You have to have the great ownership.
Uh-huh.
And you have to have a great front office. And the Hawks have neither right now. And that's the reason.
We got a good owner, but I don't think he's anything that – he's not Arthur Blank at all. He's just kind of like, hey, you know, whatever. But – we don't see enough of them, so it's just
mm-hmm.
I don't know. But ways to go, man. Ways to go for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But good conversation. No, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That was good, man. That was good stuff to talk about. But like I said, I've always questioned the fact that how we can't attract you know free agents whenever everyone's here and but whatever. But and the only one you got like Dwight Howard. It is freaking the worst Dwight Howard ever, man. So that was bad, but I don't know. So anyway, but gentlemen, definitely hope you guys had a great week. I know I had a great week. I'm going to continue recouping here because I didn't think the show was going to be on tonight, but we'll keep it going, man. But that was fun, man, as always. But again,
mm-hmm.
So next week, next Wednesday, we'll keep this going. I'm sure we'll be texting back and forth as far as what happened through the week and little stories and little things like that too. Keep it going. Have a good week. And be safe as always.
Yes, sir.
Good night, people.
Good night, people. Yep.